Well, thank you for the introduction. As stated, my name is Alexandra Knight, and I'm going to be talking to you today about the impact of long-term production systems on greenhouse gas emissions. So first, let's talk a little bit about the importance of N2O, or the importance of nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide is produced biologically in soils during denitrification, nitrification, and nitrifier denitrification. The atmospheric concentration of nitrous oxide is increasing annually at a rate of approximately 0.25%. Not only is nitrous oxide a greenhouse gas, but it has also shown evidence of contributing to ozone depletion in the stratosphere. So why are we concerned about this? Well, first of all, agriculture, as most of you know, is the primary land use worldwide. And agriculture is the leading anthropogenic factor contributing to greenhouse gas emissions with an annual percent of 14. Of this 14%, 60% is contributed by nitrous oxide. Now, agriculture also requires high nutrient inputs for productivity, with roughly 33% of applied nitrogen being utilized by crops, while the remainder is lost to the environment in forms of nitrate leaching and also gas emissions of nitric oxide, nitrous oxide, and nitrogen gas. Agriculture further plays a role in greenhouse gas emissions, as globally the source strength is approximately 18 teragrams of nitrous oxide nitrogen per year, with roughly one-third, or 6.2 teragrams of nitrous oxide nitrogen, being contributed by agriculture. Nitrous oxide emissions are going to increase after nitrogen application with increasing soil water content. This is shown to be the greatest with soils above 60% of water-filled pore space. And the reduction of approximately 0.4 teragrams of nitrous oxide nitrogen has been shown to occur annually with better fertilizer management practices, and additionally by 0.15 teragrams of nitrous oxide nitrogen with better cultivation and irrigation practices. So here we have a depiction of the nitrogen cycle, as I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And a lot of what has been studied and what we are concerned about are the inputs into the system, so the organic nitrogen and the ammonium and the nitrate. Our focus of measurements for nitrous oxide comes from denitrification, shown in the yellow circle there, which is contributed to by bacteria and fungi in the soil. So our objectives of this study were to first assess which agricultural system investigated was going to be ideal for minimalizing nitrous oxide emissions, and we also wanted to capture peak times for nitrous oxide emissions in order to convey to farmers how to best mitigate these emissions. So our hypothesis in this particular study was going to be that there was going to be a large difference between organic and conventional systems. In organic systems, you're going to see a steady organic nitrogen source, a large microbial pool, small inorganic pools, and less fluctuation over time. Whereas in conventional systems, you're going to see pulse chemical nitrogen inputs, a smaller microbial pool, large inorganic pools, and more fluctuation over time. We were predicting that those systems with greater inorganic nitrogen were going to have greater nitrous oxide emissions. So moving on to our setup of the experiment. Our study was conducted at the Cherry Research Farm in Goldsboro, North Carolina, at the Center for Environmental Farming Systems, using long-term research plots. Now, these plots have been in place for roughly 15 years, so they're very well developed into the different system characteristics. We used a randomized complete block design, and as you can see with the table, the image on the right there, we're dealing with a lot of different soil types. So we made sure to block according to soil type in order that we could eliminate some variation there. Block 1 was in a Tarboro loamy sand, block 2 was in a Wickham sandy loam, and block 3 was in a combination of state loam and Tarboro loamy sand. We had a total of 6 systems, and for each conventional system there was an organic equivalent, the first being a 3-year hay and 3-year cash crop, denoted by the brown and green colors for conventional and organic, respectively, a no-tillage system in the conventional, which is the purple coloration, minimal tillage in the organic, which is the orange, and a full tillage system in both, which is the blue and yellow, respectively. This table here is talking a little further about the 6 systems I mentioned. Again, as I stated before, there's 3 conventional and 3 organic. One of the major differences is going to be the nitrogen fertilizers used. There's a chemical urea fertilizer used in the conventional systems. And in the organic systems, we have a combination of poultry litter and leguminous cover crops. In the three seasons in which we've currently conducted research, we had a corn crop in summer of 2013, a rye crop in winter of 2013, and soybeans in summer of 2014. For these plots, we used 8 rows on the edge of the systems, placing our chambers between rows 6 and 7 to avoid any edge effect of the fields. We had a total of 2 chambers per plot, with gas samples taken following rainfall events of 1.25 centimeters or more, as this has been shown to be when you see peak nitrous oxide emissions in cropping systems. We took measurements at 0, 10, 20, and 30-minute intervals, and this was done between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. to capture the average daily temperature. We took 5-milliliter gas samples, and these were processed using gas chromatography, and we measured methane, carbon dioxide, and nitrous oxide. Statistics were conducted using PROC mixed in SAS 9.3, and repeated measures analysis was used to measure seasonal variation within the system. So moving on to our results, we had a total of 8 dates for which we saw a date by system significance. The first 2, the July and August date, are going to be within corn. The December and March date would have been when we were in the rye rotation, and the remaining June through August dates would have been in the soybean rotation. These are all significant at an alpha value of 0.05, except for the March date, which is significant at a 0.1 level, alpha equal to 0.1. So for this first slide, I'm going to walk you through it. These are significant nitrous oxide dates in 2013 in the corn crop. On the y-axis here, we have nitrous oxide nitrogen emissions in milligrams of nitrogen per meter squared per day. And on the x-axis, we have the 2 dates that were significant in the corn, the 15th of July and the 23rd of August. On the 15th of July, the 2 top emitting systems that we're noting are the conventional no-till and the conventional full-till. Moving to August 23rd, the highest emitting system was the conventional crop hay. I also want you to note that the y-axis maximum value is 300 here, as that's going to fluctuate a little bit per cropping system and per time of year. Moving to the significant nitrous oxide date in 2013, this would have been during the rye crop. And as you can see, we have the same units on the y-axis. However, the maximum value is only 5. And we're seeing that during this rye crop, the 2 top emitting systems are the conventional crop hay and the organic full-till systems. Moving on to the significant nitrous oxide dates in 2014, so during the soybean crop, again, the y-axis is a little bit different with a maximum value of 60, so these values are still going to be a little bit less than when we had that corn crop in the field. The 7th of June showed the conventional full-till and the organic crop hay system to be the highest 2 emitting systems. On the 15th of June and the 5th of July, we're seeing that the 2 full-till, both the organic and conventional, are the top emitting systems. And on the 6th of August, we see a big change with the organic minimal-till system being the highest emitter. So let's talk a little bit about why we saw these results. Well, one previous study showed that deep tillage favored residue decomposition and mineralization, therefore increasing emissions in both fall and winter. So this explains a little bit about what we saw on that December date. Another study also talked about the highest flux being in those plots which are conventionally tilled, because this is where you're going to see higher levels of denitrification. However, the same study mentions that tillage impact is going to vary per environmental conditions. So this accounts for some of the variation we're seeing per date, as you're seeing a lot of different environmental conditions as far as weather and moisture and temperature. Emissions from the soil have also previously shown to increase after application of inorganic fertilizer or incorporation of crop residues. So this is accounting for some of our early season fluctuations that we're seeing. Low fluxes have also been observed in row crop treatments following a pasture, and this was for 10 out of 13 instances in this particular study. Nitrate in continuous row crops tends to be higher. However, we did have a couple dates that showed the pasture rotation system having greater emissions than the full row crop system. So this is something we want to look further into. So in conclusion, 2013 had greater overall emissions than 2014. The tilled systems showed higher emissions early in this season, and each system appears to have dates with greater emissions, but no single system continuously has the greatest level of nitrous oxide emissions. For future research, we're going to continue measuring these gases through the 2015 field season. We're also going to be looking into how herbicides play a role with a lab incubation study. And we're also planning to look into soil carbon and the differences among the systems and how that plays a role in nitrous oxide emissions. And I would also like to acknowledge the following people who have made this project a success: the Cherry Hill Research Farm staff, Dr. Kong Tu, the Hu and Everman Labs, and also Tomas, Sarah, Evan, Natalie, Sean, Paul, and Peyton, who have also been very helpful. And with that, I'll take any questions.
So with your varying scales, it seems like there was one that was 300 at one point, right?
Mm-hmm. So the question was, which system was the worst? So based on those three different charts, I think you have to first keep in mind that we're looking at three different crops during those times. So those are going to play a big role in that, based on what previous studies have shown. The one that's showing the 300 there, the scale of 300, that's during corn. So corn, you're contributing a lot of nitrogen to the system, whereas you're not seeing that in those other ones. We're going to actually have corn in our rotation again. We're hoping to have it perfected at this point and be able to definitely nail down better results next season. So I'd hate to, we were still perfecting our method at that point, so I'd hate to say one particular system was the worst at that point in time.